AdNews Creative Renaissance Podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries six key questions. In this series, we explore the changing face of creativity as campaigns increasingly become holistic to cope with the multitude of platforms marketers now need to engage with their customers. This series of interviews is an educational initiative supported by the Australian Association of National Advertisers and the Australian Marketing Institute, and are created by On Communications in conjunction with Stellar Sound.
Welcome to this AdNews Creative Renaissance 2009 podcast series. I'm Peter Stevenson from On, and we're about to talk with Anthony Friedman, CEO of Host, one of Australia's most dynamic creative agencies. Anthony, good morning and welcome to Six Questions.
Thanks very much. Good morning.
Anthony, just to set the scene, where are we talking to you from today?
From our office in Surry Hills in Sydney.
Surry Hills, great spot these days. I mean, a lot of those you're in an old warehouse over there that's been renovated?
We are in a warehouse. We've been in Surry Hills pretty much since we started, about 8 years, I guess.
Seen a lot of change over there in that time?
Absolutely. Look, I think it's become an increasingly more popular place for agencies over the time that we've been here.
Hey, listen, before we start, congratulations. AdNews Agency of the Year, well done.
Thank you.
Each agency I've been in that's won that gong has always been doing something different. What are you guys doing that's different?
Look, I think it's difficult to kind of pin that down to one particular thing. The business has always had a tangible point of difference.
Yep.
In the structure that we have developed. But we often think that the structure is really far less important than the type of work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Really, for us, our operating model is a means to an end, not an end in itself. And so we're much more focused on the kind of work and would hope that it's the sort of work that we do that is probably the most substantial difference. Again, one other thing that's maybe worth mentioning is the type of relationships we forge with clients. You need a certain type of relationship that's built on trust and mutual respect to be able to do a certain type of work. And,
yep.
You know, we hope that we foster those kind of long-term relationships as well.
So that was a question I was going to ask you later on, and while we're on it, I mean, if you can get the client relationships going where everyone's on the same page, it does make it a lot easier to do brilliant work.
I think it's important to almost set out with the right relationship intent.
Yep.
You know, we, as was mentioned in the AdNews Agency of the Year report, have a fairly defined mission, if you like,
mm-hmm.
which is not something that we put on comp slips and various other promotional materials, but we've decided that we are a company that's about ambitious ideas for adventurous clients.
Yeah.
And so we are very focused on making sure that we have the same sense of adventure with our clients. That's something that is almost a prerequisite of us embarking on a relationship with them. If you're aligned in that thinking, then you certainly have already got a better than even chance of producing work that is going to be ambitious.
Yeah, rather than finding out when you're presenting concepts down the track.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Anthony, we've sort of put you in a little box and said maybe you guys are about holistic creative ideas and that you've been leading the charge. I suppose when I mean that, it's sort of we're seeing what you've been doing for Virgin Mobile and more particularly for Bankwest.
Yeah.
Happy banking. And that's sort of what we wanted to do, is get a feel for why are you guys working in this area. You just mentioned it and defined it as adventurous ideas.
It's ambitious ideas for adventurous clients.
But from where you guys are at, why are you in this position?
I think, as I alluded to before, it maybe is partly around our structure. We started
yep.
out in 2000, which was a point where proliferation and fragmentation of media was in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
Agencies, from our perspective, were trying to reconcile how they could evolve from companies and structures designed to make TV and press outdoor to become multi-skilled and better able to develop campaigns that surround an audience and use a wide range of touch points.
Yep.
And some of them were doing this more successfully than others. From our perspective, we knew that diversity of output was essential, and we had a blank sheet available to us, so
mm-hmm.
there seemed little point in sort of replicating a structure that was inhibiting traditional agencies, and we rethought how we could organize ourselves to be better placed to meet those campaign needs that clients were demanding and consumers seemed to be responding to best.
Yep.
So I guess, you know, other agencies designed themselves around what we might call the old world, and we're working hard to adapt to a new world, and we decided to just build a new type of agency for a new era.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the structure is probably best known for having replaced the creative department for a pool of independent creative groups, the Glue Society being one of particular note.
Yeah.
But we use those guys based on their suitability to a brand or a brief.
Mm-hmm.
There are obviously other structural changes beyond that, but that's the one that's probably most notable. But it's I guess it's that it's all of that that's conspired to us having reference to being a new model agency, or even in some cases an anti-agency, certainly something that we haven't propagated.
Mm-hmm.
But put simply, the structure is driven by, you know, an emphasis on what we believe to be important: strategy, media neutrality, and being able to tailor-make creative solutions, I guess.
How do you guys fit in? I mean, over the last 10 years, we've seen the emergence of media companies starting to go upstream and starting to own the initial conversation with marketers, you know, and then with this fragmentation, as you point to, the explosion of channel planners, and suddenly what's happening is that, that creativity is getting put into a totally different position from where it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. Where do you see creativity fitting in that process?
I think different clients have a different order in which they perceive things to happen. I'm certainly not sure I would agree that media and channel planning is kind of the lead discipline, if you like, from a campaign strategy perspective. I think strategy in totality is increasingly important in a fragmenting world, but, you know, arguably a sort of galvanizing brand thought is every bit as important as the means that you deliver that brand message.
Yep.
So, you know, I would say that campaign strategy is essential and should be the convergence of brand thinking, channel thinking, and creative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It should be something that's happening kind of collectively, not in a sort of linear way.
Yeah.
So I'm of the opinion that it's essential to have a formed point of view of who you're going to talk to and what you're going to say and how, where, and when you're going to deliver the message before you get too far into the creative process. But
yep.
I kind of caveat that with 2 points. Firstly, from our perspective, we would always engage creative brains as the strategy is coming together, because if it can't be translated in a creatively engaging way, then it's probably a flawed strategy. Also, we talk about something that we describe as a strong point of view, lightly held, which is to say that a good strategy becomes a brilliant campaign when you allow enough flexibility to see it evolve as the creative ideas start to come to fruition.
Yeah, and when you get collaboration going, that's when you can really actually get it going, being brought alive.
Our business is absolutely founded on the notion of collaboration.
Yep.
You know, it's implicit in every aspect of what we do. So, yeah, we'd definitely agree with you in that respect.
Hey, Bankwest, you're now handling media as well in-house, so you've got all that brain power under one roof.
Yep.
How's that working for you?
Look, it's something that is still in its relative infancy. It's only came on stream at the beginning of February, but certainly it's paying dividends already. I just think the notion of having the thinking all in one place, where, as I said, from a strategic perspective, you're thinking about the audience, the key brand message, and the how, where, and when it's going to be delivered, and are looking at that from an end-to-end perspective, just creates a much more joined-up thought process.
Yep.
And so, look, we're pretty confident that it's going to allow our clients that are utilising that part of the business to achieve better results.
Talk to us about Happy Banking. I mean, it's a very strong idea. It's been delivered from branch experience all the way through in a lot of different ways. How's it working?
Well, the campaign has been very successful in terms of business measures and brand health as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, if I was looking at trying to give you an understanding of how we arrived at that point, it's interesting because essentially we observed the strategy that Bankwest had already developed in terms of them doing all manner of things, both big and small, to make banking a more positive experience for the many Australians that were disenfranchised with the current banking status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And really what we were looking for was a galvanising way of bringing together what otherwise could have become disparate initiatives, or initiatives that were happening in parallel rather than collectively. And I think by so doing, kind of gave the bank a sense of purpose, which we then defined as happy banking, which we always talk about in the context of it being an initiative rather than an outcome, if you like, or something that's already been achieved.
Yep. It's a brand idea, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's a brand idea, but I guess it's an encapsulation of a brand idea that the bank already had, but just perhaps hadn't articulated quite in that way, and hadn't seen it as a galvanizing sort of, you know, call to arms.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing that happened was we demonstrated that the bank needed to recognize the role of small things as well as the significant things, because market-leading rates for many people will be the main reason that they will choose to go with one bank over another. But small things that the bank was doing, for example, they were giving ice creams to customers on hot days, or having pens that were liberated from the chains that we all know are generally attached to the desk, served to symbolise the bank's ambition to be a force for positive change in the category. And so from our perspective, we felt strongly that they needed a role in the campaign mix alongside, you know, leading market-leading rates on credit cards or deposits.
Yeah, yeah. Even the language when you're going through the online experience too is very, it's the right word for it, not casual, but it has an informality about it which is what you expect.
It should be conversational, approachable and friendly. Yeah. And I think the most exciting thing is that we put to the marketing team a brand idea that we hope would be fully embraced across all of the marketing materials, and it has, but much more excitingly, the business as a whole has really embraced it. And we were at a conference, an all-staff conference at the beginning of the year, and absolutely the organization operates around the whole notion of happy banking and the idea of the bank being a change for a positive banking experience.
And that's when it's working internally. You know, it's a really good brand idea.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, when people embrace it.
Yeah.
So that's working obviously on an emotive level, but also on a results level.
Absolutely,
so, yeah. Hey, marketing and where we're headed. Do you think we're entering an age of needing the expertise in the area of strategic and creativity? We've sort of got generalists, people that can think and develop ideas that can work across multiple platforms.
Look, I think we need to be capable of what you just eloquently defined, if we want to stay relevant. I would suggest that some companies are doing it more successfully than others. I mean, I think some people talk about it a lot and maybe aren't delivering it quite as much as they're talking about it. But definitely, look, that's where the game's being played, and I think it's increasingly going to become sort of table stakes, really.
And what kind of changes are you seeing marketers embracing to work with you? Are they people who are already in that space, or are they making changes to their structures and the way they brief, and are they being more open about how they work with you?
Look, I think, you know, as with agencies, some companies are probably doing this better than others.
Yeah.
The main change I think that marketers need to implement is to remove the tendency to prescribe a type of communication they believe is necessary.
Yep.
At the outset or at the briefing stage, an agency that's presented with a set of business and brand objectives, a target audience and a budget are immediately liberated to think about how best to achieve that, versus maybe a company given the same challenge but with an advertising brief written on the top of it. So, that's a big part. But look, I still believe that there are many cases where agencies are being briefed on developing a TV and press campaign, and that clearly isn't necessarily allowing for the holistic type of communication that you talked about.
Yeah, we sort of think it's the end of silo thinking, and that David Ogilvy used to say, something about giving me the freedom of a tight brief, but for us it's almost where what we're looking for is exactly what you said, where you get here's the business objectives, here's the business problem, and you have the canvas to paint the solution on, which can be anything.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, look, you know, if you have an agency that has the capabilities to be diverse in its output and the client's willingness to allow some latitude in what the agency recommends as the most efficient solution to achieving those brand and business objectives for that particular audience, then I think you really have freed everyone up to come back with some really unexpected and clever answers. And certainly that's the way that we work with many of our clients, and some of the stuff that's been most successful has been exactly around that scenario, where we maybe went into something with an expectation that it would be an advertising campaign and came out with something that was a digital and an experiential campaign, and So, you know, just having an open mind is incredibly important, both for client and agency.
And it certainly makes it a whole lot more fun as well.
Absolutely.
Because you just never know where you're going to end up. But it's like, you know, when you get to the right answer, you know it is.
We strongly advocate the notion of doing things that haven't been done before, because we feel that whilst it presents challenges from a production perspective in terms of saying, well, goodness, how are we actually going to make this happen? When the consumer experiences something that may have a brand message that is reasonably straightforward for them to understand, but delivered in a way that is really unexpected, more than just from a creative perspective, then I think that you maybe get much, much more impact, and even more than that, maybe some strong talkability that's supporting your campaign just beyond the dollars that you've put behind it.
Yeah, just to finish up, I mean, two examples spring to mind: the tourism holiday job campaign, which was stunningly successful,
yeah.
and Witchery.
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess they are recent examples where word of mouth has had a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in both of those cases, they were maybe more towards the publicity stunt end of the spectrum. And I think that that's definitely an element that is there. But there probably could be evolved even further than that to become campaigns that just have strong elements of firsts, if you like.
Yeah. Anthony, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, pleasure.
It's been great to get these insights. Good stuff. Anthony, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
The Ad News podcast series is an initiative from On Communications and Stellar Sound. Ad News is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine. Visit oncom.com.au to register for our free fortnightly review trends newsletter. That's oncom.com.au.